Philippians chapter 2. I hope you've enjoyed this. Sorry I haven't been quicker. But I remember my dad preached through Jonah for 5 years one time, so had to be five. It was at least 5 years, if I remember right. But I think it was good. It was good. You know, you ever tell your kids, you know, stop swallowing it whole. Chew your food. Stop swallowing it whole. And I think so many times we go through the Bible and we just bite big chunks off and swallow it whole. And you know, every once in a while it's just fun to take a book and just chew it fine. Just get every drop of flavor out of it. It's good for you. Get all the nutrition you can get out of it, all the things that God wants you to hear and have. So anyway, we're just kind of letting the Lord lead. Philippians chapter 2, let's stand, please. I want to talk to you about Timothy again, and I know we started the series by spending a little bit of time about this unique relationship between Paul and, Paul would like to call him, Timotheus, Timothy, and their unique relationship. We're not going to restudy all of that. We kind of chased through the Bible and showed how these two met and the unique relationship. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about one aspect of that. And boy, I don't know. It's one of these things where I'm sitting back there still saying, Lord, I really want this to come across right. So I'm asking him to help me. And I want you to listen with an open heart. I think sometimes we just get lockstepped into a way of thinking. And there are certain things that we think are right and certain things we think are wrong. I don't mean Bible rights and wrong. I think just the way certain things are done. I plant my garden a certain way. So when you drive by somebody who's not planted like that, they do it wrong. You know what? Sometimes it's not right or wrong. Sometimes it's just different. And sometimes I think what we ought to do is take a look at some things. And I want to talk to you. I'm going to open my heart up a little bit tonight. I'm going to kind of talk to you a little bit about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a little bit about the future. I'm probably going to spend some more time this summer talking about what I'm going to introduce to you tonight a little bit, maybe in a little more detail. What I'm going to share with you, I think, is important. And I think that there's some things that must happen in the maturing of a church if we want to continue to grow and continue to see God's blessings on us. You know, folks, there's a lot of small little churches. And by the way, this church used to be a small little church. Nothing wrong with a small little church. But there's something wrong with a small little church if the mentality of the people or the pastor is what is keeping it small and little. Because God said, look up upon the fields. They're white into harvest. I mean, God says, you know, go into the highways and hedges and come in. I mean, God's for filling up the church house. And he said, when the servant came back and say, Master, it has done thou as commanded, and yet there is room. And it was almost like the whole goal was, let's fill it up. Well, I think God's for that. I think God's for seeing as many people in heaven as we can possibly get. I think that God, in the right way, is for a church filling up. And I think there's a wrong way to fill a church up, and there's a right way to fill a church up. And we know that God must give the increase. But, you know, if God's blessing is on a church and it does continue to grow, you know, you're going to have certain things that we have to mature in our thinking concerning. Or if we just get lockstep and we have almost this selfish kind of, don't get mad at me, but almost a baby Christian mentality about the certain things, then we can kind of as a congregation just stunt where we're at. Well, we don't want this to change or that to change, or I like this or I like that. And sometimes, folks, do you know what? When you have growth, you have growing pains. And when you have growth, you've got to grow with the growth. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this because I think this is very interesting. And it's just a little thought that would be so easy to read past and overlook, but I think it's a powerful thought, and I want you to listen with an open heart tonight, all right? Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Paul says this, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Let's pray and ask God's help, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't think this will be a long message, but I think what we're going to talk about is certainly awfully important. And I pray, Lord, that you give me, Lord, some clarity of thought. I don't want to overstep the boundaries, Lord. I never want to overstep the boundaries of clear Bible teaching. Lord, I want to stay within the precepts of this word. And Lord, I want to be able to take the principles and precepts of your word and be able to incorporate them in every aspect as we can at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church. And Lord, I'm not really looking for a new plan. I'm not looking for a new program. Lord, I think the plan is simple, and the program is very simple, as outlined in the book of Acts. We need to just stay busy obeying and doing what you said to do. And Lord, you've promised to increase that, and we trust you to do that. Lord, we would, of course, like to see more families join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, we'd like to see people get into a good church and get into a biblically sound church. And Lord, we'd like to be able to maybe do more and to reach more people. And God, I pray that you'd help our motives to stay right and pure. I know the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? And Lord, it's easy for all of us to sometimes maybe want the right thing for the wrong reason, but I pray that you'd keep our motives right. But Lord, I pray also, Lord, that you'd help us to impact this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for that, all that's being done. We pray, Lord, as you would guide and lead, that you would allow us, please, to maybe, Lord, broaden the borders of our influence and be able to reach more people for Christ in the years to come, maybe more than we ever have. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I want to just show you something, and then I'm going to teach through this portion of Scripture, and then I'm going to develop this idea a little bit. But now, the first 5 minutes are very important. So if you snooze now, wake up later, you're going to say, what in the world is he talking about? So I'd rather you stay awake for the first five and snooze the rest than I would vice versa. I'd really like you to stay awake for the whole thing. I don't think I'm going to waste your time this evening, okay? But look at verse number 19, and then I'm going to jump down to where we ended in verse 24, and I want to rationalize with you and talk to you with a little bit about some things, okay? Now, Paul was a busy man. God had given Paul an incredible calling, an incredible ministry, and had blessed him. How many of you believe that the Apostle Paul was a blessed man of God, a blessed missionary, a blessed evangelist? I mean, thank God for the Apostle Paul. And God saw that he was saved in an unusual fashion. He saved him out of an amazing background. And he was equipped for what God wanted him to do. God required, even said so in his calling, even in his conversion, required that he suffer much. And some of it, I think, was because he had caused others to suffer much. But you know what? You don't find Paul whimpering or complaining. He just always seemed to be happy in the ministry. You know, folks, we ought to be busy. There's nothing wrong with being busy. Absolutely nothing wrong with being busy in the ministry. We've become just worshipers of pleasure. We really have. We've become worshipers of pleasure, worshipers of relaxation. We spend, you know, probably in America as a whole, we spend way too much time in the lazy boys, way too much time not doing maybe what we should do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, work for the night's coming when no man can work. I'm talking about a spiritual work here. You know, we can get our lives all busy. Oh, Brother Jerry, that's not me. I'm so busy. Well, busy with what? Busy with what? I mean, when the eyes of Christ look over the cross, across the accomplishments of a lifetime, what's going to burn and be hay, wood, and stubble, and what's going to be there that's eternal? We can get ourselves real busy with a bunch of stuff that's not going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity. But there's nothing wrong with about being busy for Christ. Nothing wrong with being busy as a person, folks, you know. And I think we ought to be busy. I think Paul was a busy person. Now, Paul, he was given a lot of wonderful gifts, but one of the gifts he didn't have was the ability to divide and conquer. He couldn't just decide, you know what, I'm going to blink my eyes twice and there's going to be two of me, or three of me, or five of me, and you know what, I'll be able to send the other four to go out and do the things I wish I could do, but I can't because I'm just one person. Paul was how many people? He was just one person. And so Paul, it says down in verse number 24, verse number 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And then he jumps down to verse 24 and he says this, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Verse 23, he says, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Let me ask you this, based on those scriptures we just read, do you get a feeling that Paul really wished he could have went? Do you get the feeling Paul wished he could have gone to Philippi and check on these people that he loved? Do you get that feeling? Wonder why he couldn't go. Well, you know what? I've read the entire book. I looked at it. Unless I'm missing something, I can't find out exactly why at this particular time Paul couldn't go. How many of you think that he couldn't go because he had just bought 10 new DVDs and he wanted to catch up on his Hollywood movie watching time? How many think that's why he probably wasn't there? How many think that he didn't go because, you know what, he'd planned a fishing trip and he just wanted to go fishing so he'd send Timothy? How many think that? I think Paul was just a man that was busy serving God. I think a lot of times when you're busy serving God, you really have opportunities that are more numerous than you are. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? And by the way, if you'll stay faithful to God and you'll do the right thing and you'll keep your life pure and you don't lose that desire to serve and want to do something for God, it's amazing how many doors God will open, keep opening. You know, well, Brother Jerry, I'm not that busy. I don't have that many opportunities. Well, I'm not being critical at all, but you really ought to say, why not? No, you really ought to say, why not? Well, because of him, her, she, this, that. Every once in a while, you ought to just take a look and say, you know what, why doesn't God open up multiple opportunities? I think you know what? Busy, willing people with a servant's heart never lack for something to do. Never lack for something to do. You know the old cliche, if you've got a job that you want to get done and you need somebody to do it, find the busiest person in the church to do it, because you know what? They'll find time to do it. And the person sitting over there saying, well, I don't have time to do it, when you go try to give them a job, well, I didn't want to do that. Well, that's why you're not very busy. If you got a willing servant's heart and you're willing to do, boy, this is good for us. Hello, are you there? Let me turn myself on. Maybe no one's hearing me. I'm going to turn this on now. Are you listening to me? By the way, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. I think we all got to grow through some things. We got to develop into some things. You get a heart and a passion and you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to do, and you've got that heart's desire to do it, and you're willing to do anything. God, listen, I'm no big shot. I'm nothing. Anything. Just give me an opportunity to be a servant. I mean, if it's holding the door, if it's cleaning the bathroom, Lord, if it's working in the nursery, if it's what, you know, we got our little short list of things that when Pastor Jerry ever wakes up and sees our unbelievable talent and plugs us in, we're going to be happy. You know who you look for? You look for the person that's willing to do whatever. You know, and do it with a happy heart and do it with a right mind and a servant spirit. And those are the type of people that keep getting opportunities. I hope you're listening to. Are you listening to me tonight? Paul just had more doors open, more places, more people than he had a person or the time to be at. Does that make sense to you? And so here's an opportunity. By the way, this isn't some lightweight job. This newborn church who's doing really well, but already there's a little bit of things that he needs to have strengthened. He needs somebody to come back in. They already are growing to the point where they're starting to have a lot of questions. And you know what Paul's saying, man? I mean, he needs to go here. He needs to go here. But man, there's this successful church over in Philippi. And man, I don't want him to get off track. And God, I want to do this too. But Lord, I feel like I got to do this right here now. And you know, I don't know if you're relating to what I'm saying, but I face that almost every single day of my life. I face that almost every single day of my life. And you know, you wish you could just clone yourself. But here's the thing. You know what? In a way, Paul did clone himself. You see, he had a young man by the name of Timothy, and he said, "Listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Timothy and I'm going to spend some time training Timothy. And I'm going to teach him how to do some things that I wish I could do. I really want to do. I really have a heart's desire to do it. But you know what? It just comes down to the point where I can't do everything. And so something has to be done by somebody else. So I'm going to find a certain type of individual. And I'm going to train them to do this part of the work. And then that way, this church at Philippi will get their needs met. And by the way, folks, that's the bottom line, that the ministry is finished, the ministry is completed, that the people's needs are met, that the holes are plugged. That's the whole purpose of training. That's the whole purpose of discipleship. That's the whole purpose of taking somebody and spending some time and teaching them and training them and then saying, listen, here's an opportunity, but I know God needs me here. But this is a great need over here. But guess what? I've got somebody that's been willing to be tutored, that's been willing to be taught, that's been willing to listen, that's been willing to follow, that's been willing to learn and watch and get it. And guess what? I can send this guy, and this is exactly what he said. It's like sending me. And you know what? That need will get met while I am seeing to it that this need is met. By the way, folks, this is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus could have spent his entire ministry doing nothing but ministering to the multitudes. He could have went around and just gathered great crowds in every field, and he could have said, you know what, I've got 33 years and I've got to preach and I've got to reach as many people as I possibly can in the 33 years I've got. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to great rallies and I'm going to go to towns and we'll print flyers and we'll get on the radio and we'll advertise that I'm coming, and I'll just get as big a crowds as I can, and I'll spend my life preaching and witnessing to the masses and reaching. Wait a minute. You know what? He even did something that was a lot smarter than that, that eventually reached more people than that would have. You know what he did? He walked around and he saw four fishermen and he said, you four, come here. I want you to follow me and I want to train you to become fishers of men. Did you hear that? Train you. I want to follow me and I will make you. I will train you to be fishers of men. If you'll just follow me for 3 years and listen. And by the way, you read the New Testament. You read the Gospels, folks. You know what? There are times when Jesus preached to the multitudes. But most of the teaching that's done in the Gospels was done to a little small group of disciples who then were going to go out and minister. Does it make more sense to you that see how much one person can accomplish by themselves, or if that one person invested their life in a dozen people and then taught them all that they could do, and then 13, the 12 and the one goes out and tries to accomplish? Does it make more sense to you that that might accomplish more for Christ? You see, folks, this is very important that we watch that we're not, you know, here, let me just help you. There's small churches all over the country, and I'm talking about, I got a call from a preacher here the other day, and he preached pastors in the area. And he's not exactly our stripe, but we talked for a little while, and he said, well, we've got 15, 20 people. And by the way, that church has had 15, 20, 25 people for as long as I've been here. And they get a pastor in, and he's there for a couple years, then he ships out and they get another one and they go through the same thing over and over again. Now, let me just tell you what I believe is the situation there. You've got 12 people that want a pastor and they want to be a little small group and they want all of his attention and they want him there to hold their hand and to do this and to do that and to take care of every single thing in the church. Now, they don't want to really do anything. They want him to just show up and serve them. Now, a preacher comes in and says, I got a better idea. Why don't I take you 15 or 20, 25 people and teach you to be servants? Right. Well, wait a minute. You want us to do something? Huh, I thought that's why we paid you. Yeah. And that gets to be the mentality. Right. And so, you know, and there's people that get to a church a certain size, and you know what? Some things start having to be delegated and some people have to be trained, and the pastor can't be at every little meeting or everything or go to see everything. And sometimes he trains people to go in his stead, and people pout and get upset. And so you know what they end up doing? Usually leaving a church and finding a little 25, 30 church and sit there because they can have the full attention of the pastor. Because you know why you come to church? You come to church so the pastor can serve you and take care of you. And by the way, am I here to do that? Of course. Are you going to have needs? Yes. Do I want to be there to meet those needs? Yes. But let me tell you something. I am not here to keep you a baby. I am here to help you to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not a matter of just winning people to Christ. It's winning people that can win people to Christ. It's just not a matter of discipling people for Jesus Christ. It's discipling people who can disciple people. And let me tell you something. When you reach and you get out of this thing where, you know what, it's not always, well, who, what has he done for me lately, or what meeting he didn't attend, or, well, he doesn't come to our group, or he doesn't, and you begin to, and you all of a sudden graduate and say, hey, you know what, wait a minute, that's not what this is about. What this is about is our pastor training us and teaching us and helping us to mature and us learning some things and learning how to reach other people and how to disciple other people, and then going out and doing that. And listen, folks, instead of one person or one or two or three people on a pastoral staff trying to do all of this, you've got 50 or 100 or 150 people that aren't just coming in to attend and sit and watch and be entertained and be, but they're going out as an army to reproduce and to multiply, and to do what they've been taught to do. Then all of a sudden, what you're going to experience is growth. And so it takes all kinds of people. I mean, there's people in churches. And by the way, if someone comes in this church and parks, and their whole mentality the rest of their time that they're here is, you know what, I just want a church where my needs are met, and the pastor comes and sees me and takes care. And you know what? I will tell you what. I will do the best I can to be what you need. But I'm going to tell you something. You're missing the boat. I'm just telling you, you're missing the boat. I'll love you. I'll try to pastor you. I'll do everything I can. I'm sure I'll disappoint you a lot. But you know what? A lot of that disappointment's because you've got the wrong outlook. Okay, get off this. What have they done for me lately? What has he done for me lately? I mean, you got to throw that little notebook away, that little mental notebook where you're sitting around checking off what you like and what you don't like and what you thought was. Why don't you throw that away? Why don't you just become a disciple and learn how then to be somebody that can then go out and disciple? Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? You know, what I think, some of you bus riders, you know, some of you that were reached through the bus ministry, and some of you that were reached, you know, some bus captain reached you through the bus ministry. Let me ask you, when are you going to get a bus route? When are you going to get a bus route? When are you going to take a bus route? Are you listening? Okay, some of you have been working in a nursing home, you've been helping somebody else. All right, how long are you going to sit there? Why don't you desire to have one of your own? I mean, you've sat and you've watched, you've listened and you learned, haven't you? Then go get one. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? And so what I'm trying to introduce to you is a process, folks. I'm going to try to present it. I'm going to present this correctly and scripturally and biblically. But I really think this is how churches are supposed to grow. You know, a pastor taught us, and I love this thought. I love this thought where he said, you know what? We're not here to produce fruit. We're here to produce fruit trees. That's really all I'm saying tonight is, you know what? You can be a product of a fruit tree, or you can discover that every piece of fruit has in it seeds that have the ability to grow themselves into a tree that can produce fruit. Are you getting this? Is it soaking in? I mean, right now, if I was a church member here and I was sitting there and this the lights were coming on, this concept, I would be getting real excited right now. I'd be thinking, you know what? Maybe God's got something bigger than just me showing up and walking in this door 3 days a week and sitting here and being fed. And thank God for that. And do we need that? Of course you need that. And do I want to be there to do that? You better believe I want to be there. By the way, could I share something with you? It's hard to be up here and be able to do that if I'm chasing down every single detail of a multifaceted ministry. Are you listening? And so what we've got to do is we've got to begin to train people who then can reach others and disciples others and be a blessing to others. Now, Brother Jerry, what kind of a person did Paul pick? Well, let me show you what kind of person Paul picked, because here comes the real challenge, folks. It's not sometimes hard to find somebody that has a desire for that or even get excited about that. It's just sometimes hard to find people that are qualified for this, because it's real easy to get mixed up what this whole thing is about. Oh, good. Are you going to create positions? Are there going to be titles? I mean, do I have the possibility of being like such and such or such and such and then have people under me I can boss? And finally be able to have my way in this and my way in that? And you just, you live in a whole different universe. I'm just telling, woohoo! You in the Bible, your mind and the Bible are eons away from each other. Honestly, it is. And see, folks, this is what causes the problems in the church. Because sometimes somebody wants what I'm talking about, but they want it for the wrong reason. They want to be a big shot in the church. Or they want to say, well, I have a weekly meeting with Pastor Jerry because he put me over this. Don't the rest of you wish you could just be worthy to unlatch my shoes? You ding dong. It's not what it's about. Is that really what it's... You think that's what it's about? It's not about that. Are you getting this? Because what has to happen is you've got to find somebody who gets it. You see, now, Timothy, he got it. Say, how do you know this? Well, Paul writes it out for us. He says, let me tell you why I'm able to send this guy. And he said, I'm going to send somebody to you. I can't come, but I'm going to send you somebody. Now, let me tell you why I can do it. And so this is why he said he could do it. He said, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And by the way, you know, one of the things, could I say this, is that Paul could send Timotheus without worrying about what Timotheus was going to do or say. You ever tried to give somebody, and by the way, we have people in this room that are, you know, I mean, you know, in your realm of business or influence or whatever, you know, you've had to work on multi-level, you know, where there's multi-levels of authority and delegation and supervision. And the worst thing in the world is to have a guy underneath you who you've been assigned, and every time you give him something, when he goes out to meet with the people, that you just have to get on your knees and say, oh, God, please. Please don't let him create more of a problem than he's going to be a help. You see, if you want to be a help and a blessing and an assist in the ministry, and you're entrusted with a job, Timotheus, you're going to go to Philippi. I want to. I wish I could. I know how to do it, and I could do it, but I can't do it. Now, I want to send you there, and you know what? I can do it in good comfort, and I know that you're going to be taken care of, and I know they're going to be taken care of, and I know things are going to go well. Now, here's the thing. If he gives him that job, and that guy goes over there, and he hasn't listened to Paul, and he hasn't paid attention to Paul, and he's not like-minded, and he doesn't get it, he's not on board, he doesn't understand what it's all about, he can cause Paul 10 times more work than what he's supposed to save him. He can create multiple problems, and all of a sudden Paul says, you know what? Now I've got to let these things go, because I've got to go over there and clean his mess up. Now let me ask you, if Timothy did that the first time or the second time and the third time Paul sent him, do you think there'd been a fourth time? I don't even know if there'd been a third time. I think everybody ought to get a second chance, but at some point, are you listening to me? So Paul said this, you know what? I can be of good comfort sending it to him. I'll know your state. I'll know exactly when he comes back. I won't get this bunch of baloney. I won't get these half stories. I'll know your state. He'll be honest with me. He'll be upfront with me about the situation. Now, notice this, verse 20. For I have no man like-minded. Boy, that's so important. Like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. Now, let me tell you what Timothy did.
I think Timothy walked around and trained underneath Paul, and what he did was he made a study of how Paul thought. He made a study of how Paul operated. He watched how Paul cared for people. He watched Paul's style. He got what he was trying to accomplish. He got like-minded with Paul, on the same page with Paul. And you know what? That way Paul could say, Timothy, go do this. And you know what? He thought like Paul did. Now listen to me, because I want you to understand this. This doesn't mean that when you give a job to somebody, they can't have any uniqueness. They can't have any different personality. They can't even have some good ideas. What it means is that you don't want to send somebody that just totally doesn't get the direction and doesn't understand the goals and isn't interested in accomplishing the same thing you want to accomplish. Okay, nothing is worse than bringing somebody in, training them, getting them ready, and give them a job, and then go out there and have them turn what you're trying to do completely upside down and go the complete opposite direction of what you're trying to get the thing to go. And listen, no leader's going to do that. Going to do that for very long. No leader's going to, and shouldn't have to do that for very long. And so what he said was this. He said, I've got to find somebody like-minded. Well, you know what? Timothy's like-minded. I want to find somebody who will, I love this phrase here, who will naturally care for your state. You know what that says? That tells me this man was a selfless servant. When Timothy went to Philippi, folks, I don't think on that journey there not one time did he think, wow, I wonder if this makes me like the assistant missionary. Let's see, I hope they put me up in a nice place because they understand how important I am. After all, I'm Paul's right-hand man. Let's see, I wonder what I can get them to do for me while I'm there. Wonder who I can put in their place. Wonder what I... No, you see, the I thing didn't come. What about him? And notice this, it wasn't something he had to think about even. This was a man whom God's heart has touched, who had a natural inclination to want to serve others and care for the needs of others and help others. He wasn't there to build a name. He wasn't there to be a big shot. Paul could have done it. And he knew that. And Paul had entrusted him to do something that he could have done and wanted to do. So he said, when I get there, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it as much like Paul as I possibly can. By the way, those of you that are assistants and assistant pastors, you know, if there's five people from Blessed Hope, and there have been, by the way, five people from Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the hospital, and I can't get to all five, and I said, Brother Poet, when I was an assistant pastor and Dad put me in that situation, I would walk in the hospital room and I would say, Pastor wanted to be here, and he just can't, so he sent me in his stead. Now, folks, if you don't get that right there, then you're not going to get a lot of things in life. I'm so, you know, and by the way, thank God for the men we have. I appreciate Brother Fred. I appreciate Brother Jonathan. But there's so many assistants that the minute you give them something, all of a sudden it goes to their head, and they'll do the exact opposite. They'll walk in and say, well, Pastor couldn't be here, but I'm here because I care. You know what? You dirty scoundrel. And by the way, if you're a bus captain, you ought to have the same mentality. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to have the same mentality. If you're the youth leader, you ought to have the same mentality. If you're in a nursing home, you ought to have the same mentality. My pastor would love to be able to come and preach to you folks, but he can't be everywhere at once. And so he's given me the opportunity to come in his stead. Well, wait a minute. By the way, if you're bristling right now on the inside, then you really need to get what I'm saying. I mean this with all my heart. You need to get what I'm saying here. You see? Because the only way this church will go past 300, past 350, past 400, and by the way, do I set a timetable on that? Listen, it's God that gives the increase. And how much, how fast, I really don't ever really worry about or think about. But I know God wants this place to grow. Folks, there's some wonderful things that Blessed Hope Baptist Church has. There's a uniqueness to this church. Listen to what I'm going to say. There's a uniqueness to this church that is nowhere else in this area. I didn't say we were better. I didn't say we were right in all areas. I'm just saying there's a uniqueness here that you just won't find in any other church in the area. And I know Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't for everybody. I understand that. But I think that God's hands on this place, God's blessings on this place. But listen to me, congregation, listen to me. Are you teachable? Are you trainable? Are you willing to become like-minded? Every time you're given something, listen, Brother Mowry said something that I laughed so hard about years ago. He said this in a meeting. He said, some people ought to be named Ford. They always have a better idea. They always have. Am I against somebody that's been given a project coming up with a new idea? No, matter of fact, I love that. But you know what? If you just got to do it different because you don't want to do it the way it was told to do, and there's no real advantage to it except you want it to be yours instead of the pastor's, then you've got a problem. And can I share this with you? 99% of the time, if you just carried out the way it was laid out, I've already thought through it very carefully and pretty well.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just didn't fall off the turnip track last week. I drove the turnip truck in this morning and parked it right out there. I'm not a novice. Now, let me balance this out. Man, when somebody gets the like-mindedness and gets the same heart, you know, he goes down here to say this. In verse 22, but you know the proof of him that as a son with his father, he has served me in the gospel. He said, man, I'm going to tell you something. This man has unquestioned loyalty. Unquestioned loyalty. By the way, he doesn't mean that he worshipped Paul. It doesn't mean that he thought Paul was always right. But he understood the hand of God was on Paul. He was more interested in sitting under him learning than he is sitting away from him criticizing him. He had the right outlook. He had the right heart. He wanted to be a part of the ministry. He looked for somewhere where the hand of God was on somebody, the hand was God was upon, the blessings of God was upon. And he said, I'm going to get underneath him. I'm going to learn some things. I'm going to become like-minded. I'm going to be trained and disciplined. And then I'm going to go out and be able to reproduce what I'm seeing done. And listen, folks, that's what needs to happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church.
Amen.
That's what needs to happen. I hope you got that. And I think I was very fair with that. I like it when, if I've been giving you, pastor has most of the positions that are filled right now was assigned by Pastor Ross. I've assigned a few positions. But if I have inherited you, and some of you are thinking, wait a minute, we inherited you. Okay, if we inherited each other, can I share something with you? You need to really focus in and learn how I think. By the way, you're going to find out we don't think that much differently. But I'm not Robert Ross. Okay, that's Robert Ross over there. I'm Jerry Ross. Okay? And so, in the non-essentials, in the non-doctrinal, in some areas, I'm just going to have a little bit different leadership style. Sometimes I have to for it to work for me. It doesn't mean that was wrong the way it was done before. Remember, sometimes it's not wrong or right, it's just different.
Amen.
By the way, you're going to see, you know, if it's not broke, why fix it? I mean, there's a lot of things we're not... But sometimes in the way I oversee and the way I organize and to make sure things get done, are you listening to me? Now, folks, listen to me. I need your help. Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs your help. Well, I don't want you out there wishing for a position or a title. I want you to have a heart to serve. I want you to be willing to be discipled so that you have the ability to go out and one day disciple somebody, because you will reap what you sow. You're not going to be effective at getting others to follow you if you can't follow someone else. See, there's a lot of things you just got to learn, you see. And so, by the way, young people, I'm excited. We've got some young men in this church here. Young married men. We've got some young men that have just graduated or have just graduated in the last few years. And
For whatever reason, God's not leading them away. He's keeping you here. Listen, he's not keeping you here. You guys know more than you think you know. You've been raised in this place. You've watched this thing. If you've watched and listened and you've thought things through and you're just not a reactionary emotional, but you've actually watched, you know, some of the guys in this room, they can almost know the next thing I'm going to say. They've been around me all through I was the youth pastor when they were there. Do you realize the potential for good that you could be to this church right here? Do you know that the ministries that you could incorporate into and take to a new level? Do you know new ministries are going to be started, and I need you? But I need you on board. I need you here. I need your head here. I need your mind here. I need your heart here. I need you more worried about helping people and reaching people than whether or not you get a title or a position or a pat on the back or a standing ovation or whether anybody even ever knows you've done it. And the potential in our young couples and the potential in the young men and the young ladies that we have invested 19, 20, 21, 22 years is almost beyond comprehension. It's almost beyond comprehension. But you see, you have to be a certain type of individual. Paul said, I can send Timotheus there and not worry a bit because you know what? He's like-minded. He will naturally care for your state. He's a selfless servant. Notice this, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. By the way, that's a powerful statement. It just shows you how rare a Timothy is. But they really shouldn't be. But Paul said, you know what? I can't think of another person right now that I could send that wouldn't seek their own. That wouldn't go there and turn this into being about them instead of it being about the people at Philippi. Sunday school teacher, can I trust you to do that? Bus captain, can I trust you to do that? Nursing home workers, can I trust you? Children's church workers, can I trust you to do that? And all of the ministries I'm not naming, you feel where you're in. Can I trust you to do that? About going somewhere and not trying to make it about you, but making it about those people that you've been sent to serve and help. Can I trust you to do that? Can you be trusted in that area? Or are you worried about trying to gather your own following? You see, that's how church splits happen. I think what happens in a church is it grows and it grows and it grows. And there's delegation. There has to be delegation. But you know what? If you're not careful at some point, how many times have you all heard about these type of things or seen these type of things or had to live through these type of things? At some point, you get one or two people seem to be in it for the right reason. Next thing you know, they're grumbling around behind the back. And they've got a little power and they've got a position. They got maybe, heaven forbid, a title. And they got a little following. And next thing you know, they become critical of the pastor and critical of the way things are going. And they use the authority that was gifted them by the pastor to turn around and stab him in the back. And I'm going to tell you something. I got more respect for a weasel, a snake. To me, there's no excuse in that. I remember Dr. Evans saying this. He said in college, he'd say, now, some of you are going to go out and be assistant pastors. And you're going to go take a position. And after about 6 months or a year, you're going to realize, you know what? I didn't really understand what I was getting into. I thought this preacher believed this, that, and the other, and he doesn't. He said, you're going to be, by that time, heavily invested in the ministry, but you know what? You may feel like you have to leave for whatever reason. And by the way, sometimes for doctrinal reasons, that happens. He said, he'd bring a little glass of water, and he'd set it on the pulpit. He'd stick his finger in it. He'd say, let me show you how you have to do it. He'd slowly pull his finger out, slowly, slowly, slowly. When he took it out and removed it, there wasn't even a ripple. He said, if you leave any other way but that, you know what? You're a thief. You're a crook. I'm ashamed of the fact that you're a graduate of this college. If I get wind of it, Brother Howes used to say this. He'd come in chapel and he said, I make this offer all across the country. Any pastor who hires a Howes Anderson graduate and that guy goes in there and is disloyal, I don't care if the guy's even right over some things. He's disloyal and causes problems in that church and tries to turn loyalty away from the pastor. He said, I'll pay money myself. I will buy the ticket. I'll pick up all the expense. I will fly to that church. I'll walk in that church. I'll walk up and put my arm around the pastor and say, folks, I'm for this man right here, and I'm ashamed that assistant pastor came from our college. Now, whether or not you understand that or not, you ought to understand that. You know what, folks? The church of God and the work of God and unity in the church is more important than your little list of grievances. And by the way, God will back me up on this. God said, there's six things I hate, yea, seven are abomination unto me. And one of those things was, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Sometimes we look at that as if it's not in the Bible, but it's there. A selfless servant, this faithfulness, this loyalty. He said, verse 21, but all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What a sad commentary. What a sad situation. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently. I hope to send presently. You know why? Because he said, you know what? I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be like me being there. Now, folks, I wish I could be there. This is what Paul's saying. I wish it was me. I wish I could come. I want to come. I want to. You know what? I wish I could be on every bus. I wish I could be in every nursing home service. I wish I could be preaching here and preaching children's church and junior church and primary church. You think I'm kidding? I would love to have the opportunity that Brother Reiser has to every single week go out there. I told John Reiser this when he had children's church. I said, and this is just a fact, folks, because we run a bus ministry and this is a soul-winning church and a lot of lost kids. I said, Brother John, do you realize that in your years of preaching at Blessed Hope, you'll probably see more kids respond to the gospel preaching than the pastor? You don't think I sit here and go, man, that now it's your son doing it. That jerk, he's out there and I'll come in here and preach on Sunday morning. They all stare me down the invitation. He walks in with five people that walk the aisle. You don't think I want to switch places with him sometimes? And by the way, could I share this with you? I could go do it. And I have done it. And I'm better at it than him. Make sure he knows that I said that. He's home taking care of his wife and baby. He's where he ought to be. He called and talked to me about it. But do you understand that? You understand I preached in a nursing home. I've done my time in a nursing home. You know what? I love. You know what? Brother Tommy took his wife to Stephanie and pray for Stephanie and Ashley. They flew out and pray for your mother-in-law. She had surgery. And they went out to be with her. And he said, man, we don't have a bus driver on Tuesday. I just got to miss Tuesday. I'll be there every other day, but I got to miss Tuesday. And you know what? Every year I have had the privilege, just about every year I've been here, I've had the privilege of driving a bus during VBS. And this year I said, you know what, I just shouldn't do that. Or some things are going to fall through the cracks. But you know how excited I was Tuesday morning? I mean it. And you know how much fun it is to pick those kids up? You know how much fun it is? I mean, like that little, is it Megan, the little redheaded freckle girl? She gave me 75 hugs. She'd just walk on the bus and hug me. And then she'd go sit down and she'd come back up and hug me. And then she'd go sit down and she'd come back up and hug me. I said, this is great. I hate whoever gets to do this every week. This is not right. Whoever gets to do this every week, that's wrong. I could do this. I can do it better. These are my hugs. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Isn't it great to be a part of the ministry? Isn't it great to have any part of the ministry? You see, folks, what we've got to do is be very careful because and I think God's going to do it. I'm just telling you, I'm going to predict something on God. I think God's going to keep blessing this place. I think this church is going to keep growing. It's in His hands. I want to do the right things. But I will tell you this, folks, and we didn't even make it back there, and I'll preach on this some other time. But I'm going to tell you what. Go to Exodus chapter number 18. And read about Moses. Every man of God is going to reach a saturation point. And you know what? For the ministry to go forward, you have to... By the way, Jethro told him. And I know Schofield, Brother Schofield, who's much smarter than I'll ever be, I'm sure in some areas, is wrong on that. He criticizes this, and I don't think it's to be criticized. I don't think Jethro gave him bad advice. I can prove it because you go over to Numbers chapter, I think, 17. I may be wrong on that. And God tells Moses to do the very thing. He says, go get 70 men. Let me take the spirit off of you and put them over 70 men. Because you know what? Moses was being overwhelmed. You know, every man has a saturation point. And what happens a lot of churches is the pastor reaches a saturation point, so the church stops. And folks, listen to me. It's not his fault sometimes. Where are, you know what Jethro told Moses? You go get able men. Able men. And then he gave characteristic traits of holiness and godliness and loyalty and faithfulness. And he said, you train these men. You know what? A lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of churches, they have to keep their hand on every single thing. You know why? Shame, shame, shame. I'll tell you why. Let me read the verse. For I have no man like-minded. No, for all seek their own and not the things that are Jesus Christ. Some folks just don't get it. Most dangerous thing some preachers could do is delegate some things to some of their men. Isn't that a shame? I mean, that is. That's a shame. Without worrying about what's going to happen. Are they going to cause problems? Are they going to hurt feelings? Are they going to run people off? Are they going to try to do it a whole different way just so they can walk around saying, I had a better idea? You see, folks, this thing of the ministry, man, and what God can do and the way God wants to use you. What God wants to allow you to have your hands in and have your hands on and get to see and be a part of is amazing. And the only person that will limit that's you. The only person that will limit that is me. And so what I wanted to share with you is not a whole bunch of things about Timothy, but the fact that Paul said there's all kinds of things out here that need to be done and everyone's important. But look at this wonderful church of Philippi. But you know what? I can't go there. I just can't. I know God needs me here. I know God wants me here. I can't take a trip right now. By the way, down at the end of that, I hope that shortly I can come to you. I'm going to try to follow up on this. I want to be there. I miss you. I long for you. I want to be the one that does it. But what I've done is I've got a man that's come alongside me and said, Paul, teach me. Paul, teach me. If you'll show me, I'll learn. If you'll explain it to me, I'll get it. I'll watch you and I'll listen. And I'll see how you do it and I'll do the best I can to mimic that. And he just kept doing that and kept doing that. Finally, Paul said, you know what? What are you doing hanging around me? You are me. Hey, I was praying 6 months ago. God, if I could just clone myself. Oh, God, let me. There's a church over here. You know what? This is a wonderful church. But you know what? They got some questions and they've got a few issues and they need their faith strengthened, and they've grown to the point where they've got some things they don't know what to do with. And Timothy, go. And I think Paul stood there and watched Timothy walk down the road. And I think he thought, number one, I wish it was me. But I think then he smiled a big smile and said, you know what? It is. You know what? That young man will do it. And then Paul turned around and focused fully and completely on what God had him to do at that moment. And he didn't think another thing about it. You know why? Because that church was in good hands. Folks, that is the hope of reaching this area, and not just this area, this country for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could just stop all of the foolishness and silliness in so many churches across America that spend more time imploding than exploding for God, we'd see a revival. But is there always going to be that one lady or that one man, or that one couple that's sitting around just seeing how, what in the world is wrong with us? The work of God is more important than my wants or your feelings or my ego or your ego. We have got to get the mind of Christ. And that's what chapter 2 started telling us about at the beginning. You got to get the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you take this message and help us to get our minds around it, to get our thoughts around it, to get our spirits around it. Help us to get this, Lord. Satan would love to destroy, and he does. He destroys and has destroyed so many churches. And God, you want to bless the church. I pray, Lord, that we just get our minds around this. Get our minds around it. Get our hearts around it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Help us to get that mind, Lord. Help us to get it. Thank you, Lord, for this church. This is a church that for a large part of it, they get this. This is a very easy church to preach this type of message to. We have in this church many, many people who are servants. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would all aspire to that title. If we aspire to any title, would it be, Lord, could I just be a servant? Could I just be a servant? Help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, to go on and go forward and do a greater and greater work for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.